What does it mean, and what is the meaning or the effect of the love of God in our heart, or after he comes in our heart? How will it affect us? How will the love of God coming into our heart affect us? How will it act upon our lives? What will it do for us? Amen. Well, I know we'll get through with it if I preach the end of it. In fact, I never find the end of it because it just keeps going. But I want us to think about that subject tonight and just to really what it does mean. Now then, and I mean this, Romans, the 5th chapter, I would like to get us to study the Bible just for a moment tonight. In Romans, the 5th chapter and the 5th verse, we will find something that verse I've read before, quoted it, and so on. But I'd like first to look at it again. I'd like first to look at that verse once more with tonight. In the 5th verse, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. The love of God, not some man's love, not somebody's imagination of love, but it's God's love that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Well, when is that going to happen? Well, God's not going to just scatter it out to anybody. Don't you see? He's not going to throw out his love to this one or that one just to show them that he's got it. And just promiscuously. God isn't going to throw that out like he's feeding out a bunch of birds. See? God isn't going to do that. Only when that man meets the condition of God. Amen. Meets God's condition. What are God's conditions? What are the conditions of God? Why, my dear friends, Jesus explained it to us very, very plainly. He said, you must be born again. Amen. You must be born again. And then we find that John explained it to us in John's gospel. And we find in John, the 1st chapter, and I think it might be well for us to go back there just for a moment and look. As I said, I wanted to get a few verses there because I'd like to show you some facts and figures here. In 1st chapter of John, and begin with the 11th verse of John, the 1st chapter, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now that was Jesus John's telling us about. He came unto his own. He came to the Jews. Well, the Jews didn't accept him as a group. I know that some Jews accepted him all right, the disciples for one, some of them, and some others, but not as a nation. See, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he something. Amen. To them gave he power. See, gave him power to become sons of God. Amen. Even to them that believe on his name. Yes. Amen. See that? Even to them that believe on his name. And now that isn't all. Now then Jesus said a little bit later that a man must be born again. All right, listen to this. What John says right here. Which were born. Not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born of God. Who? Those that believed on his name. Those that received Jesus. Amen. And those, well, somebody said, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, you believe with your mind, and but so many times not with our heart. Too many times we don't accept him with our heart. We believe him in our minds, you know, but we're not willing to receive him in our heart. And so Jesus says very plainly that if we've been born again, then, my dear friend, we're born of the Spirit of God. Amen. Born of the Spirit of God. Born from above. Born of God. Born of God. Not of man. Not man's idea. But born of God. Now let's look and see what that's going to mean. Let's look a little further. In the 1st John, the 5th chapter now, if you will, please. And if you'll follow me here. 1st John, the 5th chapter. And I hope you have your Bible, because I really like to have you bring your Bible and study with it, because every service I like to have a moment or two of Bible study, and if we can, in most services anyway, I like for us to take a minute to read some scripture and get some truths and facts together. And so in the 5th chapter, 1st John, and begin with the 10th verse, I'd like for you to notice, will you, what John tells us here, led of the Spirit of God, and he writes to you and me the meaning of it all and what it's all about. And so he says here, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness, where? In himself. Amen. In himself. Amen. Got the witness in himself. Amen. Right down here. All right. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life. Amen. God has given to us eternal life. He's given it to the world. In other words, he sent Jesus down here to die on the cross. We've got it. All we've got to do is to accept him. Amen. Receive him. And we can have it. Now, and so he says here, he that hath the Son, in other words, has life. Notice, this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Yes. Now that's where the life is. Life isn't in water. Life isn't in the church membership. Life isn't in good works. He didn't say anything about that. He said this life is in his Son. Yes. In Jesus. Amen. Now that's where the life is. Jesus said himself on one occasion, why, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, Jesus said. And so John says right here, he says, and this life is in his Son. Now notice, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath Jesus, in other words, has life. If you've got the Son of God, you've got life. Do you have him? Is he in your heart? Do you know he lives in there? Have you received him? Why, he said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what John told me. Why, he said, even to them that believe on his name, was given power to become the sons of God. Amen. God gave us that power to become the sons of God. What is it? To become a member of the family of God. Why? Why should that be done? What's necessary? What's the reason for it? Because, my dear friend, when a man is born into this world, every baby, every child that's born into this world, listen to me, please don't misunderstand me, every baby born into this world is born in sin. Amen. What is it? Born into the family of the devil. Yeah. Every baby born in this world is born into the family of the devil. Suppose that baby passes away. I have three of them. I'm gone. But you know, I'm not a bit worried. Why? The grace of God is sufficient. And I know that those babies are in the arms of Jesus. Jesus said, for all such is the kingdom of heaven. I'm not a bit worried about those little babies. No. I know that they're in the arms of Jesus. Yes. Because they died in infancy. But wait till that child becomes the age of accountability. He's got to make a decision. He's got to do something. He's got to be born again. Amen. Amen. That baby comes to the age of accountability. He's on his own now. He knows and he understands. He's got to be born again. Got to be born again. He's got to be born, why? Into the family of God. Is it just to heaven? Because the devil's family certainly not going to go to heaven. And every child born in this world is in the family of the devil. And if he doesn't get out of it, he'll always be in the family of the devil and go to hell. Go to hell. But because of the fact that Jesus died on the cross, and I can be born again. Thank God he's made it possible for us to be born again of the Spirit of God into the family of God. Get out of the family of the devil. Into the family of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, I'm no longer in the family of the devil. Amen. Praise God, I've been born again. I don't have to look at the old devil and call him father anymore. Call him my daddy anymore. Praise God, I can look and say, I'm a father. Amen. My God and my father. Oh, and Jesus taught us to say, our Father. our Father. And so this life is in his Son. This life is in his Son, as John tells us right there in that 11th, 12th verses. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Oh, how terrible that if a person doesn't have Jesus, he doesn't have any life. I don't care how much, I know of them. I've known so many people said, well, I'm going to reform. I'm going to quit my drinking, and I'm going to quit my cursing, and I'm going to quit gambling. I'm going to quit this and quit that and turn over a new leaf and join the church. My dear friend, you can quit it all, everything in the catalog, and you can live so perfectly as you know how to live, and even more so, somebody can help you to live it, and you can just live a perfect life if you want to, and go on living that perfect life. Join all the churches in the world. Baptize every way they can baptize you. But my dear friend, you're going to land in hell. Without Jesus, there's no hope. Without Jesus, there is no hope. My dear friend, anybody that has not the Christ has not life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. My dear friend, it's all in Jesus. He's the life, he's the way, and he's the truth. Praise the Lord, he's the only hope we have today. And so, how wonderful, my dear friend, that when a man has been born again, he has Jesus. Now let's look a minute. He has Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. I wonder when Jesus comes, when he came into your heart, when Jesus moved into your house, did he come in just with a little snatch, a little handbag, and just come in? Well, I'm going to live a little while with you. I'll just live right here in this little corner right here. I won't have to be in all of your house. I just want to occupy just one little corner of your house. Is that the way Jesus moved into your house? It isn't the way he came in my house. Praise the Lord, he came in, my dear friend, lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, he moved in everything that he had with him. All of heaven came in with him. All of his love came in with him. All of his characteristics came in with him. All of the characteristics of Jesus moved in with Jesus when he moved in. Praise God, he came in, and he came in to stay. He came in to live with me. Praise the Lord. I tell you right now, I'm so glad that he occupies the whole house. And he wants to live. He wants to control the whole home. How wonderful, my dear friend, that Jesus moved in. And when he moved in, he brought all of his love with him. He brought his spirit. He brought his power. He brought everything with him. And praise the Lord, my dear friend, I have access to heaven. I've got access to this. I've got access to that kingdom of God. I've got access to the throne of God. I can come to God in prayer. I can come to God boldly through Jesus. Praise God, how wonderful, friend. What a beautiful privilege. What does the Spirit of God do when he moves in? What's the effect of the love of God coming into our soul and our heart? Well, I'll tell you, one of the first things he does, my dear friend, when he comes in, somehow or another, you know, the devil had to run. The devil had to run. He couldn't stay in the house with Jesus. And praise God, I'm so glad that Jesus moved in with his power and spirit and fire from heaven, drives the devil out. And praise the Lord, that old hatred I had, it turned to love. A new heart changed. A life was changed. And those desires were changed. My life, whole life was changed. Praise God. Why, you know what? I had a man to say once, well, one time, Roger, do you dance? I said, I dance all I want to dance. Hallelujah. What you do? I said, yes, sir, I dance all I want to dance. Around the pulpit here, and around the home, by myself. But praise the Lord, I just don't want to go to one of these fandango dances. I just don't want it. Hallelujah! I don't have a desire for those kind of a billion to get down in the dump. I drink all I want to drink, and praise the Lord, I'm glad that I don't want to drink anything stronger. I'll tell you, not much stronger than water, a little bit. Maybe might put a few drops of tea in it, but I want very few. I'll tell you right now, a little flavoring, that might be all right. But I'll tell you right now, you've got to be careful. Praise the Lord. I don't want to drink anything that will turn my whole mind and heart and body and life down to hell. I don't want the rotten, filthy stuff around me. Why? Because it's out of hell. I just don't want it. Praise God. I've got a new want to tonight. I've got a new want to. The power of the Spirit of God has given me a new want to. Given me a new desire. Given me a new ambition. A new longing. A new heart. And I'm glad to say tonight, my dear friend, that I have a desire. I have a longing. Oh, and I hear old David crying out and saying, yonder in the very first psalm, how wonderful and how marvelous, as he cries out and says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Did you hear him? Wonderful, my dear friend. He's going to walk right. He's going to talk right. He's not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. That he's going to live and walk. But here's the beautiful thing about it. I'd like you to notice there in that first psalm. Did you see it? How beautiful he says it there. Not only that, just in the Greek, from the first again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of the on the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight. His desire, did you see it? But his delight, his ambition, his longing, his desire, in other words, his delight is where? Where is his delight? In the Lord. I'll tell you right now, in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Well, he's got a delight. He delights in the law of God. Why? Because he's a righteous man. He's walking with Jesus. He's walking with God. And he's been transformed. He's been translated. He's been made new, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so now he says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And that isn't all. I mean to say, my dear friend, he's just going to live there. He's just going to live there. Well, what is it? You notice there? And in his law does he meditate day and night. Hallelujah! He keeps his eyes and his mind and his heart centered in the Word of God. Centered in the eyes and minds of God. I wonder where our eyes are and our minds are. My dear friend, when we're watching Hollywood and when we're watching something else, I wonder where our minds are. I wonder where our eyes are. Are they on the things of God? I wonder when we're watching people as they come in naked or half naked and dancing and playing cards and shooting and one another around Hollywood and so forth. Where's our mind? Where's our eyes? What are we concentrating on? Old David said that his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law does he meditate day and night. Praise God. He can't do that and watch television very long, I'll tell you for sure. He can't do that, my dear friend, and read trashy novels very long, I guarantee you. He can't keep his mind centered on the things of God, my dear friend, and watch some of the things that are going on around this world today. He can't do it. Did you hear me? I'm saying tonight, my dear friend, his delight in the things of God. He's delighting in the things of God. More than that, in the 42nd Psalm, I want you to notice, will you please, there, just one verse especially that I'd like you to notice in the 42nd Psalm, as in the first and two verses there, old David is still telling us, and you know, he was a man after God's own heart. I'll tell you right now. Oh, yes, he committed a sin, one of the most horrible sins of all time. And my dear friend, but praise God, he came back to God. He repented of it. We find it in the 51st Psalm, his repentance there, how he repented to God. But listen what he's saying now. As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Oh, what is it? I tell you, he's longing for God. He's hungry for God. He's meditating upon God. He's thinking of God. I tell you, he's hungry for God. As a hart panteth after water brook, he's thirsty for God. Did you hear him? Did you hear him? There, my soul thirsteth for God. Oh, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Longing for his presence. My dear friend, did you ever hear an ungodly man talking that way? Did you ever hear somebody around a nightclub talking that way? Did you ever hear that man down there playing gambling around the gambling table talking that way? That he'd like to be in the presence of God and he's hungry for God. Did you ever hear somebody like that? Somebody that's cursing, my dear friend, or anything else. And this old word, did you ever hear him? That can dope or smoking or anything else. And say, oh, I'm just so hungry for God. I'm just so anxious. I want to get into the presence of God. No, you don't hear it. But my dear friend, it's the man that's been born again. The man that's alive in Jesus. No wonder Jesus said, yon in the 5th chapter of Matthew, there, in the beautiful Beatitude, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What's Jesus talking about? I used to didn't understand that, but I believe I understand it. Today I believe God redeemed it coming. Why? I've seen little babies. I've seen little babies that were so sick.
And you put a bottle in my mouth, it wouldn't drink. I think they were so sick, my friend, that you just couldn't get them to eat. Why, I'll tell you right now, what did we do? I think what we did, we got them to the doctor. Why, they just were so sick, there's something wrong. They didn't want a bottle, they didn't want anything to eat. Why? I'll tell you why. There's something wrong. How terrible. And then I've seen those babies, my dear friend, that the first thing you know, they lay lifeless. They lay lifeless. And you could put all the bottles around them, all the food around them, they didn't eat. And they didn't drink. Why? They were dead. But Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Blessed is that woman, that little baby that's crying his lungs out. And he's going to cry, and he gave him a bottle. That baby that's so hungry and thirsty, and he just wants to eat and finger off. He's so hungry, and he's just so anxious to get to the bottle. Well, you better be happy that baby is hungry. You better be happy that baby is hungry and thirsty and wanting something to eat and drink. Why? Because it's alive! Because it's healthy! And praise God, that's the child of God! Man or the woman that's hungry and thirsty for the things of God, he's alive. The dead man can't be hungry. The dead man's not thirsty for God. The man in sin isn't hungry for God. It's only the man that's been born again. It's only the child of God that's been filled with the Spirit, that has Jesus in his heart and life. He's the only one that's hungry or that's thirsty. You just can't make anything else out of it. And so no wonder Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, because they're alive. And praise God, they should be filled. Hallelujah. They'll be filled. They'll be satisfied. I'll tell you right now how glorious and wonderful. But listen, we're all just now getting to where we want to get. Listen, did you see this? Did you notice it? When Jesus comes in, he just changes our nature and disposition, and he changed that old hatred, and here comes love. Here comes love. Just flowing in.
Why? What did Romans say?
Why, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Fill our very soul with the love of God. Not with somebody else's love, but the love of God. And where is the love of God? Why, God loves to love the Word that He gave. God loved the Word and God gave all that heaven could give. He gave His only begotten Son. Love, my dear friend, love is going to give. You can't love without giving. Amen. Now, a lot of people can give without loving. Yeah. I've seen people give without loving. Oh, I've seen people give lots of money to the church, and they didn't care a thing in the world for the church. But you can't love without giving. You can give without loving. But I guarantee you won't never love without giving. Amen. And if you want an illustration, you just go down here and find that old boy that's falling in love with that little girl. If you want a real illustration, you just find that old boy that's going head and heels over and turned upside down. He's in love so with that dear little girl, yonder. I'll tell you right now, you just watch that old boy. I'm telling you right now, he'll do without something. He'll do without everything. He'll get a box of candy and get something to put it for that little girl. Give her some flowers to take her and do something else. He won't be like this, like the colored boy was. He won't be like him. Colored boy, you know. And he took his little girl over to the fair and got out there and walking all over the fair lane. And
dinner time came,
they just kept walking, passing the hamburger stands and passing this and that and the other. And finally the girl said, those hamburger children smell good. Oh, do you think so, honey? Let's get over here just a little closer where you can get a better smell. Oh, no!
I tell you, the man that loves his girl, the man that loves his girl, the man that loves, he's going to be giving that girl something.
He's going to give and give and give.
God gave
his only begotten Son because he loves the Word. He loves the Word.
God loves. And my dear friend, God gave his love to you and me. And you and I are filled with his love. And our love, my dear friends, the love that we have is kin to God's love. It's divine. It's the love of God in our heart. And praise God. Let me illustrate. I tell you right now, how many of you have seen that dear precious old mother? How that dear old precious mother, how many times did you ever think about it? She almost gave her life in bringing you into the world. I'll tell you right now,
How many of them almost gave their life to bring you into the world? And somehow, to bring people into the world, their mother had to die to bring them into the world. Oh, listen, friend. Did you see that mother's love as she's nursing that little baby, as she's taking care of it in her arms? Did you see that mother's love? Did you see her as she watches over the hours of the night and sickness comes and troubles come, how she takes care of that little baby and loves that little baby? Why? Why, she'll die by the side of it. She'd give her life to that little baby. Why? Because a Christian mother, a real Christian woman, loves that little baby. She'll die for that baby and for that baby. She'll give her life, she'll do anything for that baby because she loves that baby. Watch that little baby grow to be a young man, an older man. And that mother watches that boy as he goes out in sin, as he goes down the road toward hell. You watch that Christian mother, that mother that's godly life, that mother that's filled with the love of God. You watch that mother wet the pillar that night after night with the tears from her eyes. Hey! How many times I've had them come to me and say, Brother Roger, pray for my boy. Pray for my boy. My boy's in sin. My boy's down the road yonder. And sometime the boy's in jail or somewhere else. Pray for my boy. Pray for God to love the boy. They love him and their hearts are going out to him. And they're ready to give everything they can give to that boy because they love him. Jesus, by your friend, gave his life on the cross of Calvary for you and me because he loved us. He surrendered all. He surrendered all. Listen, friend. When you and I have the love of God, thank God how wonderful it is that we want to love God supremely with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, with every power we have love, how to love him with. Why? Because he saved us. If we've been saved, we love God. We love Jesus. How glorious it is to love him. But friend, that isn't all. Thank God, in loving God, we hate the devil. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, I'm glad I can hate the old devil. I'm glad I can hate him, and God is pleased with it. When I hate the devil and I hate his work, I hate the sniping or tricking he pulls on me. I hate those things. I hate the rascal. How wonderful it'll be one day to know that he'll be down in the devil's hell. Like a fire forever and forever. Praise God, no longer to tempt us, no longer to be with us, and to accuse us before the Father. How wonderful, my dear friend, that we can hate the devil. But listen, what's the devil trying to do? He's trying to deceive you and me. He's trying to get us to get out in the world. Come here. Come here. I got a little trick. He don't tell you that. He makes you think it's beautiful and wonderful and perfectly all right. And it'll be glory to God and everything. He's trying to make you think it's wonderful to drink and to gamble and to curse and to dance and to play with the world. I don't care what you might go in, where you might go. The devil's trying to make you think it's beautiful and all. But what did God say in his precious word? What did God say? Yonder in his precious word in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, and the 15th and 16th verses. Did you notice there? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Did you hear that? If any man love the Father, love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man loves the world, he's not talking about the grass and the mountains and the rocks and the trees. He's talking about the human nation. He's talking about the cosmos world, the human world, the human world, the people of the world. He's talking about you and me and the people of the world and the things that we do and the things that are attached to us and the things that we love. What are they? What are they? All right, read the next verse and he'll tell you. He'll tell you exactly in that 16th verse, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, what all this old flesh longs for. I'll tell you right now, I've seen some people that love to eat. They are live to eat too. I've seen people that just live to eat. And I mean, they just never get through eating. They just live and they just eat and they eat and they eat. And oh, I'll tell you right now how terrible it is that they just gorge themselves and they can't do anything about it. I've seen people, my dear friends, that love this old flesh so much, they'll just do anything to satisfy the flesh. And that's why we have them going around with a needle in their arm, sticking a needle in their arm, dope, and have them going around and taking spirit out of the bottle. And that isn't God's plan. That isn't God's plan. That's love of the world. That's of the world. It's the heart. It's the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Not only that, but he says the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Notice what he says, the pride of life. Is not of the Father, but of the world. Of the world. And my dear friend, when we love that,
We can't love God and love that. You can't love God and love these things. You can't love God and want to, and have a desire and longing to do these things. Why? I'll tell you why. You can't go two directions at the same time. Did you know that? You can't go up and down at the same time. And my dear friend, you can't go east and west at the same time. You just can't do it. And so, my dear friend, if you love the world, you're not, you're going that direction. It's the thing that's holding you down. If you love the things of this old world, you love those things of sin and the things that the devil wants you to love, and I could go on naming them, you know what they are. But the love of the world, my dear friends, is not of God. Oh, he says, tonight for you and me to love God. And I thank God tonight, friend. Notice, here's the victory I'm glad to say tonight, that if you have the love of God in your soul, if you have the love of the Spirit in your soul, if you really have the Holy Spirit, if you really have Jesus in your heart and love, praise the Lord, he gave you the victory tonight. You don't want to love these old things. You don't have an ambition for them. You don't have a taste for them. You don't have any love for them anymore. Ah, how wonderful, friend, that he's taking away the old want to and taking away the old desire. Oh, yes, he'll take it away. He'll take it away. Ah, wonderful to know, my dear friends, that God will take it away if you want him to take it away. Praise the Lord, he'll take it away. How glorious to know that our God can give us a victory. Now notice, don't you tell me that the devil's going to quit fooling with you. The devil's going to quit tempting you. Oh, no, sir. But thank God, I'm glad that for every temptation, my dear friend, that the old devil has, God does play back out and walk out. He's got to go right out of him. He's got to play back and get away from him. Every time the old devil comes, my dear friend, I can't keep the devil from coming. I can't keep him coming from my life. I can't keep him coming from around me and tempting me. I can't keep away from that at all. But I tell you what I can do. I keep making a house, building a house, or building a nest in my house and camping on my ground. Praise the Lord, I can keep him away from me that way. I'm glad to say, my dear friend, that Jesus is there, and I just do like the little girl. Somebody said the little girl was talking, she said, yes, she says, this is my house. Jesus lives in my house. Somebody said, well, suppose the devil comes and wants to walk into your house and visit you. Oh, she said, I'll invite Jesus to come to the door and meet him. I'll let Jesus come. I'll turn him over to Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's the secret tonight. I'm glad to say tonight, friend, every time the devil can come and does come and will come, praise God, Jesus will be there if you and I will defend. He'll be there to give us a victory. He'll be there to give us a victory over every temptation, over every trial, over every heartache and sorrow. Praise God, our blessed Savior there. How wonderful when we love Jesus, when we have the love of God supreme in our heart and our life, we can have the victory over the devil and over the powers of sin and hell. I'll tell you, my dear friend, we can have it. He'll give it to us if we will only just listen to him and follow him and walk with him and listen to him and let him hold us, let him keep us, let him keep us close to him. And then, my dear friend, somebody says, if somebody opens the door and lets the devil get in, Listen, let the devil get into your heart and mind, and backsliders come, and they will, and they do, I don't know why, but the old devil slips in on the wrong side somewhere, some way, somehow, and gets in, and the old boy, first thing he goes cold. You know what the first thing he does? First thing he does, he begins to quit going to church. Begins to quit going to church. Quit prayer meeting, that's one of the first things he quit. Quit going to church, quit Sunday school. That's one of the first things he does. The next thing you'll notice, he might go once in a great while. He might go to a revival meeting in the summer once or twice. And he's following afar off. That's what Peter did. Followed afar off. Oh, yes. Somebody brings up an argument. Oh, he'll fight for the church. I'm a member of that church. He'll fight for the church and argue about it. Get mad if you say much about it. He's a member of that church. Well, that's what old Peter did. First thing you know, he's warming his hands around the devil's campfire. Amen. Warming his hands around the devil's campfire. That's what old Peter was. Warming his hands around the devil's campfire. I don't know. No, are you not telling me? I don't know the man. I don't know who you're talking about. That's what Jesus said. And then the first thing you know, he begins to let out a curse word. Begins to curse and swear and lie. I don't know who you're talking about. That's where Peter was. Yes. Jesus told him he was going to do it. And about that time, the old rooster began to crow. I think Peter looked up
I don't know, maybe not, but I can't help but wonder if Jesus wasn't looking at him. I just can't help but wonder if Jesus wasn't looking right straight at him. He knew all about it. He was watching. I told you so, Peter. I told you so, but you bragged about it. You thought you were strong enough to fight the devil yourself. You're not. I've been praying for you. Jesus already told him that. And old Peter looked up there and saw him, and I think old Peter began to weep. I think he bowed his head. I think he sneaked out. He began to run. He wept and he wept and he wept. Oh, listen to me. How sad, how terrible, how terrible when you and I somehow or another grow cold and let the devil get us down and let the devil cheat us out of victory. Let the devil cheat us out of happiness and joy and peace, and we get away. And then the first thing, old trouble comes. I wonder why I've had so much trouble. I wonder why I've had so many problems. Old David might have said, I wonder why the baby died. No, he didn't have to wonder. God told him why he was going to die. God told him exactly why that baby was going to die.
Amen.
Because of your sin.
Amen.
God whipped him. God whipped him. How many times God has had to whip him? Why? Why? Because we took our eyes off of Jesus, and the devil got in, and the waves came, and we began to go down in the water like old Peter did. Friends, the only hope we've got is to call for Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God, Jesus was right there.
Yes.
When old Peter cried out, help! Jesus reached out his hand. Praise the Lord. He's just not close to you and me tonight. He's ready to help us.
Amen.
Praise God, he still loves us. He loves us.
Amen.
He loves us. Though we're backslidden, he still loves us. He's holding on. My Bible tells me he's married to the backslider. Praise God, he's holding on. He's holding on. And I've seen him yawn in the altar. I've seen him weeping and crying and pouring out the heart of God. And then begin to tell me the story of Brother Rogers. Brother Rogers, I know it's because we're backslidden. We've gotten away from God. We've turned away from God. Our baby's dying. Our baby's got the cancer. He's in the hospital. He has bone cancer. He's dying. And it's all because of our sin. And they cried and they wept their way back to Jesus, back to the cross. Praise God. I'm glad that our God is big enough. And God forgave them that night. Received them back into the fellowship, and I was so happy, my dear friend, that just, I believe it was 3 days later, the report came that the cancer was gone. Praise the Lord. Our God is big enough, praise the Lord, to stop it all. Hallelujah. He's big enough to stop it all. I'm so happy tonight to know, my dear friend, that our God will help us. Our God will help us. But listen, what I want you to get across is that our God loves us tonight. And oh, he's begging you and me not to love, not to look at the world. Don't let the world get entice you. Don't fall in love with the world. You can't love God in the world. And a man that's loving the world, the love of God is not in him. He just can't love the world and love God. The Bible tells him. You just can't love both at the same time to save your life. You just can't do it. Oh, may God help us tonight. If you love the world, then he tells us there that the love of God, the love of the Father, is not in you. What about them? What do you love tonight? What do you love tonight? Do you really love God? Do you really love his word? Do you love the church? Do you love his people? Ah, my Bible tells me, my dear friend, that we know with passion, death unto life, if we love the brethren.
Yeah.
How glorious, how wonderful. Do we love God tonight supremely? Do we love him with all of our heart? I mean, we don't have any room for any other kind of love. So we love God with all of our heart. With all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Friend, that takes everything we've got. We don't have any love for anybody else at all. Praise God, he got it all. God has got it all. He wants all of our love. Where's all your love tonight? Where's your love? God says for you and me to love him with all of our power. We can't do it until we accept Jesus. Until Jesus comes into our heart and he gives us the power to love. And how wonderful we can love him then. How glorious it is we can love him with all of our heart. Mind, soul, and strength. Otherwise, we couldn't love him at all. We wouldn't know how to love. We'd have no strength to love. We have no ability to love until Jesus brings it or until the Holy Spirit sheds it abroad into our heart. How glorious and wonderful, friends, when he loves like that and comes into our heart. But where is your love tonight? Where is your love tonight? Oh, what do we love most of all? in our life? What do we put first in the morning? What do we put first in the day? What do we put first in our life? What do we think most of all of? What do we consider the most important thing in this world anyway? What is our love tonight? Friends, what is it? What is our love? Do we love God? Do we love God tonight? What is our heart? Friends, in other words, have you been born again? Have you really been born again? Have you really been saved? Have you really been transformed into a new creature, made a new creature in Christ Jesus? Have you really, my dear friend, been made new, and you have a new love, you have a new spirit? Why, my Bible tells me, friend, that if we have the Spirit of Christ, we have His Spirit, then we belong to Him. If we have Jesus, we belong to Him, in other words. If we have Christ in our heart, we have His love, we have His Spirit. We can't have one without having the other. If we have one, we'll have it all. Praise God. How wonderful, friend. If you have Jesus, you'll have His love. You can't have one without having the other. How wonderful to have the love of God in our heart, in our very souls tonight. How wonderful, friend. And we could just go on and on. I wish we could have time. We don't have the time. But I will make this suggestion. Praise God. When we have His love, then we don't have any trouble with our enemies. We don't have any trouble with our neighbors. We still love them. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they do. We still love them. We may not like their ways, but we still love them. Praise God. We can just love them and love them. We can just help them and pray for them. We can be just doing something to heap coals of fire upon their head of love. That's not in reality. Some people want to make that real, you know. But that isn't love. Oh, I'll tell you. How wonderful to have the love of Jesus in our soul, the love of God in our heart. I shall never forget when we have that love, what it does. I'll never forget yonder, just the other side of Rogers, Arkansas, a few years ago, in a revival meeting there, and how the two women in the church had been fighting. I mean fighting, pulling hair, and grabbing at one another's eyeballs, scratching. Hitting. I mean, they were fighting, and they were mad, and they had never gotten in a good humor, and the church was divided, and one went with one group and another with another group, and we were trying to have a revival there in that community. I'll never forget it. And there one day, I believe it was one night, one of those ladies got gloriously saved. Oh, I tell you, friends, you talk about somebody shouting and praising God. She did. And that church, I'll tell you right now, the rest of them were so happy to see that woman shout and praise God. And she got saved there. Those righteous Christian people, they were really happy to see that woman saved. And she jumped up from that altar finally when she got to where she could talk. And then she began to rub the tears out of her eyes and got ready to talk. The other woman was back. I believe she was sitting on my left, on this side of the aisle, way back towards the back. And she had a bunch with her. Oh, yes. And they hated the preacher. They hated the church. They hated the Bible. They hated one another. The other rest of the church, they just had hatred in their heart. And the woman back there was a leader. And this woman upstairs, she was gloriously saved. She said, "Brother Lawrence, I'd like to have a word." I said, "Talk on," or something to that effect. I forget exactly the word. And she began to talk. She began to tell the story how they had had trouble. And she said, "Brother Rogers, I've got to go to see that woman if she don't come. I want her to come down to this altar. I want her to come here and meet me here. And get down and let's pray this thing out and settle this thing in the altar. And if she don't come, I've got to go to her." She says, "I want her to come right now." And she says, "If she don't come, I've got to go." And finally she said, "Brother Roger, she's not coming, and I've got to go." And she started out down the aisle. Before she could get there, that woman began to scream, and out between some of the others, she pushed her way, and she ran out of the house of God. She literally ran out of that house. And this other woman began to scream and cry and fell on the altar again, praying for that woman, praying for that woman. These others that were the friends of this one that left, they stayed, and I have forgotten now, but a great number of them finally came to the altar a little later in another service. Praise God, the revival alone. Why? Because the power of God came down into that poor woman's heart, and she broke the power. She broke the power of sexual sin. And praise God, people got saved, and love came in, and this woman loved
but that woman hated, and that woman went out of the house, a lone woman. Not a single person in that community had anything to do with her from that on, except the Christian people, and they would just pass and repass because she wouldn't talk to them. She didn't want anything to do with them. Oh, listen, friend, I'm saying tonight that the power of God can move a church, can move a community. Amen. I'll tell you right now, and I'm praying that the power of God will come down to our hearts. Take out all hatred and enmity and jealousy and prejudice. Take out all love for the world and put in our souls the love of God, and help us to see, my dear friend, that if we have the love of God, we have Jesus. If we have Jesus, we have his love. And praise the Lord, we don't have any hatred. We love the things, and we're on the road to heaven. We're children of God. And one of these days, we'll be together over there. How wonderful. Where are you tonight?